This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, it's 10 o'clock. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears, along with Phil Berger here in studio today. Len Zien will be our third. He's got the Zien machine moving back towards the homestead in beautiful central Florida. And our fourth, Ed Stevenson, is road tripping out towards Kansas City this weekend with the family. And we hope they stop off and enjoy one of those great barbecue places. So anyway, we'll be a threesome today. So if you're single, jump in and be our fourth out there. And we look forward to talking about the big tournament schedule on the week ahead. Len Zien is going to have more on what's happening down by our friends at the French Lick Resort in just a moment. We also have Curtis Malm, the director of golf at the White Eagle Golf Club, joining us right after Len. We're going to talk about this week's Illinois Open and how White Eagle dodged the bullet, sort of. They lost a few trees and a few other things, but didn't get hit real bad from last week's tornado that blew right across the golf course. And then Tim Kelly, the golf course superintendent at Exmoor, will join us. And Tim's going to talk a little bit about the superintendent business, what it takes to keep a top-notch golf course running and in top shape for members and guests and people that come to play it, and also taking that course an extra step when it comes to championship week. So we'll hear about the preparations for this week's Western Am that's going to host many of the top amateur players, not just from America, but from around the world. Numerous other countries are represented. And it should be a great field. Defending champion Michael Thorbjornsson from the Northeast area is back, the Stanford golfer who also played in the U.S. Open at the Country Club at Brookline, not far from his hometown, is back to defend his title. But while we got a couple of minutes, we're going to jump in with Len Zien and the Zien machine, and we're going to hear a little bit more about his stop at the French Lick Resort. Lenny, how are you this morning?
Oh, we're cruising back through Georgia and trying to avoid any kind of rainfall, but we had a great stay in the Midwest. Usually we stay a little bit longer there, but it was good to see all our friends and see some of the big tournaments. But we did have a nice stop with our friends at French Lick Resort in Indiana, where they're very excited, and I can understand why. Really, they've done so much for women's golf over there at French Lick, with getting the Legends Tour going, and then bringing in then it was called a Symetra Tour event 4 years ago, but the Legends that led to the creation of the first senior event for senior women players, the senior LPGA championship was started over there this year. For the first time, it was held elsewhere in Kansas, but French Lick has gotten very much now involved in, it's now the Epson Tour, but it of course it had most recently been the Symetra Tour. And it's the LPGA's developmental tour. It's been known as the Futures Tour. It's been in business for 41 years, but French Lick is going to host the biggest tournament in the history of that tour, $335,000, and the winner gets $50,000. They've got a double pro-am on Wednesday. They've moved the tournament, their stop over to the Pete Dye course, which that's going to be a big treat for these young stars hoping to make it on the LPGA Tour. So It's going to be a big week at French Lick. I know Dave Harner, the director of golf there, is very excited about this new turn of events, and I can see why. I'm sure the spectator end of it will be up pretty good. That's what he tells me.
Well, Len, you know, the senior LPGA, the last couple of years it was there, it was, you know, it got played in October, and the weather wasn't always very cooperative. Some rounds, temperatures dropped down to low 50s, upper 40s, and made things pretty difficult. So I'm sure they're thrilled to have nice dates in August, and it'll be much better for the not only for the players, but for all the people that come out to watch the tournament there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's interesting to this one is last year, the Casey Danielson, I don't know that name, her brother Charlie played for the University of Illinois men's team, but Casey went to Stanford. Last year, she won the tournament, the Symetra event at French Lick, and that at that time, it got her right on the LPGA Tour. But things haven't gone as well for her on that circuit, and so she winds up coming back to French Lick, and where she'll defend her title on a course that she didn't win it on. She'll get to see the perfect defending champion situation, but on the Pete Dye course. So it's Lucy Lee is the big name on that tour now, the Epson Tour, and I think I've long felt that it was a kind of an underrated tour, that it was it deserved more attention. They're really good players, and you're the stars of the future. Our winner of the Illinois Women's Open last week at the Mistwood, the Thailand girl Jeravee Boonchant, she's going to be in the field here at French Lick. So I'm excited about this week. I know there's bigger events going on. We have the Illinois Open and the Western Amateur in Chicago, and the PGA Tour is closing in on the FedEx Playoffs. But this one's kind of special in the French Lick crowd, and I think in women's golf.
Well, Len, I will let you continue to drive back towards the homestead. We'll look forward to hearing from you with a little more of a recap of your summer trip to the northern states next week at the Zeem Studios there, overlooking the beautiful Palm Air Country Club in Sarasota, Florida. And thanks for jumping in this morning, and safe travels over the last 7 hours to get back to the house today.
We'll do it. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Okay. That's Len Zeem and the Zeem Machine rolling through Georgia and closing on the border of the Sunshine State. See, those Florida people, they hear it's going to get warm up here, Billy, and what do? They turn around and get out of here, you know.
Yeah, I forgot to tell them to save us some sunshine, you know, in case you and I get down there in the wintertime, you know. That would be a good job for Len to do, you know, for you and I, you know.
Yeah, yep. Okay, with that, we are going to take our first break, and we will be back with Curtis Malm, the director of golf from the White Eagle Golf Club in Naperville, the host site of this week's Illinois Open, right after this.
The Mount Prospect Golf Club, that dates back to its founding in 1926, has been restored by Essler Golf to bring back some of the features of the great courses by the famous architects of that era. While most golfers will never get to play some of the famous private clubs of that era, at Mount Prospect, you get to play the holes that are styled after the classic hole designs like Redan, Punchbowl, Eden, Cape, and Baritz. Other improvements to the Mount Prospect Golf Club include the inside of the clubhouse and the pro shop, complete with a full line of apparel, golf balls, and more. The practice facility, a major improvement with a double-ended driving range. So if you're looking for a fun course to play or need a venue for a golf outing, call the Mount Prospect Golf Club at 847-259-4200. That's 847-259-4200. Or visit golfmountprospect.com. In 2022, the Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin, located in the northwest suburbs of Milwaukee, will host this September its fourth USGA Championship when the USGA Mid-Amateur comes to Erin Hills. Erin Hills is already one of the only six U.S. Open courses that you can play. Erin Hills was built inside the club's 652 acres of land left by the glaciers of the Kettle Moraine era. This walking-only course gives the golfer a day to settle into the nature of central Wisconsin on this top 100 rated in the country golf course. Erin Hills has overnight rooms above its Irish pub and several cottages with multiple bedrooms for groups. So if you want to spend the night before or during multiple rounds of golf, enjoy the overnight lodging at Erin Hills. Some examples of Erin Hills fine beverages include the Erin Hills Pilsner or the Fescue Rescue that hits the spot on a hot summer day. But don't forget, test your putting skills on the new Drumlin putting course. For tee times and rooms in 2022 that are going quickly, call Erin Hills at 866-772-4769. That's 866-772-4769. And don't forget, visit erinhills.com. This segment is sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. Klein Creek now has a variety of memberships available. For more information, visit KleinCreek.com or call the club at 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the Klein Creek app. All right, it's 10:11. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears with Bill Berger in studio. You just heard from Len Zeem. He's driving the Zeem machine through Georgia, heading back to the homestead in Florida today. But we'll hear from Lenny over the last three shows, checking in and telling us a little bit about some of the stops he made around the Midwest over those last 3 weeks. But one thing that is happening here this week and teeing off on Monday morning is the 73rd Illinois Open Championship. And it's taking place where it did a couple of years ago at the White Eagle Golf Club. And we're pleased to welcome back to the program the director of golf there, Curtis Malm. Curtis, how are you this morning?
Doing great, Rory. Thanks for having me.
Well, no problem. And we thank you and your fine club out there for having all the great club professionals and some of the top amateurs in the state out there for the Illinois Open this week. And, Illinois PGA Executive Director Carrie Williams told us, she says, well, the section always likes to go where we're welcome and well supported. And I think the same holds true for all of us that work in the golf media. It's always nice to go where you're welcome. And your club does such a great job of it. And I'm sure you're very excited. Everybody's excited to see this event tee off on Monday morning.
Yeah, Rory, we're super thrilled to have, the best 156 players in the state compete over the 3 days at White Eagle, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Obviously none of this ever happens without the membership. And we're blessed to have such a great membership that loves to share their golf course with the best players in the state. And I'm looking forward to a good test of golf coming up the next 3 days.
Well, Curtis, I know that the golf course will be set up outstanding. It looked in outstanding shape when we saw it on Thursday, but tell all of our listeners, how great a lot of people have been to sort of keep things in great shape. Unfortunately, you had a little weather situation last weekend that dumped some rain and high winds, took out a few of your trees, but White Eagle seems ready to go.
Yeah, we have a fantastic superintendent. Jim Canning is one of the best I've ever worked with, one of the best I've ever dealt with. Him and his staff will have the golf course ready to go this week. Unfortunately, last Saturday we were the epicenter of the EF0 tornado that went through Naperville last week, last Saturday morning. It actually touched down to start right by the 10th green. It made its way through the 10th hole, over the clubhouse, across our fourth hole, and then into our blue nine, 19 and 21. We lost about 50 trees, half a dozen carts, our scoreboard, a bunch of patio furniture, some outdoor lights, but as we do at White Eagle, the show's got to go on, and the 156 to tee it up on Monday probably won't notice that we had it a week, 9 days prior, so we're ready to go.
Well, other than two trucks from the tree expert service that was out there on Thursday, we couldn't tell that 3 days ago that much had happened. Your patio area around the clubhouse is a great place for people to enjoy food and beverage before and after golf. And, you know, Curtis, I know you and I spoke maybe a little over a year ago. Your club is really going to bring a new form of A-game and make all sorts of improvements to the club, not just on the golf course, but around the club in general. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, last year the board, the management team put together a long-range plan after we had a company come in and give us a, you know, a capital assessment on our property and everything we have. And we formulated a 10-year capital plan that we're going to reinvest a significant amount of money back into the club. You know, it kicked off last October with the construction of our new pool and paddle facility. You know, we built four paddle courts, a new restaurant bar that services that and the pool. We also built in two simulators in the basement. So, you know, White Eagle is now a 12-month property, which for the clientele of Chicago, you know, we try to find something to do for those 4 to 4.5 months that golf gets shut down here. So after that, we're going to move in and, you know, do some cosmetic work to the clubhouse and then jump in to renovate our Arnold Palmer designed golf course in about 5 years. So things are exciting and, you know, we're excited to host the Illinois Open, but we're also excited for the future of White Eagle.
Well, Curtis, I know that the Illinois Open, obviously winning that tournament is a great accomplishment for any player, and I believe it's on your resume too. But didn't you do it before you turned professional? So you got cheated out of a nice winner's check?
Yeah, it was a few moons ago, back in 2000, when I was fortunate enough to win the event. I did win it as an amateur, and I had to pass up the $18,000 for a $500 merchandise gift certificate to Royal Fox Country Club. I grabbed a few dozen balls and a couple of shirts and a couple of memorabilia from that week. But, you know, the purse continues to rise. You know, this is becoming a monster tournament, and you know, I'm very fortunate to work with the IPGA with Gary and Brad, being the chairman of the event. I couldn't be more proud of where it's gone in the last 22 years. And this year we're adding a new twist to it. We're going to have a live streaming coverage of golf with two fabulous commentators doing live broadcast on holes 1, 9, 10, 12, 14, and 18. So those that cannot make it out to White Eagle will be able to watch the championship golf unfold over Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, you know, we are a private club, but for these 3 days, we're excited to open the doors, not only to the 156 players, but, you know, spectators and families. They're going to be welcomed with open arms at White Eagle.
10:18, you're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears with Bill Berger in studio. We're talking for a couple of minutes with Curtis Malm, the director of golf at the White Eagle Golf Club, the host site of this week's Illinois Open, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And Curtis, tell us a little bit more about this, I'm going to say TV coverage that you have and how all this came together, because it's going to be really nice, I think, for golf fans that if they can't make it out to Naperville or they're a little concerned about getting out in the warm temperatures that are predicted, especially for Tuesday and Wednesday, they can saddle up to their TV or their laptop and watch a little golf.
Yeah, so we hosted the MAC Championship back in late April, early May. And, you know, one of the members at our course, who's in the IT field, approached me about the ability to take live golf to the next level. You know, when we hosted in 2020, we had still cameras running on a closed circuit feed to the clubhouse. So all the members and guests for those 3 days could watch action on you know, 3 to 4 holes back in 2020. And, you know, for those that know me, every year's got to be bigger and better. We got to do something different than we did the year before. So we started talking last year, and we brought live broadcast to the MAC Championship, which was a really wonderful twist to the collegiate side of golf. You know, they don't have a lot of TV coverage of the collegiate side. And NC-17 did a great job broadcasting, and the commentators were fantastic. So I got back with my member who's the president and CEO of Scientel Solutions, and we've added more holes and more coverage, and we're going to go bigger and better for the Illinois Open. The live stream will be run through the Illinois PGA website, ipga.com, and we're going to have coverage just about all day, Monday, Tuesday, and then obviously we'll bring the finals to your living room or your desk on Wednesday. So we're excited. The TVs are ready to go. All the testing's been done, and you know, all we need to do is have some good golf, and that's up to the 156 that are playing.
Well, Curtis, I see that your pairing includes Bryce Emery, who won the championship at your club a couple of years back, and I know that he's got a lot of supporters out in that area. He's worked at a couple of clubs in the Naperville, Aurora area, and I'm sure your membership will be out there behind you. So I'm sure you're expecting a fun gallery for Monday and Tuesday, and then I expect both of you to make the cut and play again on Wednesday.
That would be fantastic. You know, Brad did a really nice thing by putting all the White Eagle contingency back to back to back to back. So that that wave of morning and afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, should be a lot of fun. We should have a lot of members, a lot of support, and, you know, not to mention some of the hospitality places that will be on the golf course, you know, brought to me by a couple other of my fine members. You know, it's going to be a real golf tournament. You know, you come out, cheer on, walk along with the players, grab a drink, enjoy the sun, you know, cheer on people that you know, cheer on people that you don't. But, you know, it'll be a five-star event.
Well, I'm sure that everybody is looking forward to it. Curtis, I got to ask you, it looks like I see several past champions in the field in addition to yourself, but I don't see last year's champion in the field. I know TK Kelly has been out on the Korn Ferry Tour, but if TK is out playing in another event, it looks like this championship in some ways might be wide open this year.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's unfortunate for us that TK is not going to be here, but, you know, as the Illinois Open has evolved over the last 10 years, and you know yourself and Lenny Zeem and the Cronins, they, you know, that have a very long history with the Illinois Open. I think it's gotten to the point where we want it to be. You know, the guys that are competing for the championship trophy and the guys that are right there with them, you know, those are young professionals aspiring to play professional golf. And the Illinois Open, as it was for me, is a springboard to opportunities. You know, I got a springboard off the Illinois Open, went and played the Canadian Tour, played the Nationwide Tour. So, you know, I don't love to not see TK at the tournament, but, you know, it's great that last year's win springboard him into, you know, the Korn Ferry, which is obviously one step away. And obviously, you know, Nick Hardy's been a past runner-up, close finisher, and he's doing wonderful things on the tour. So, you know, Bryce Emery's got status on the Nationwide Tour. We were talking before media day on Thursday. He's 25th on the alternate list in Utah. So, you know, it's really awesome to see these young guys using the Illinois Open as a springboard to bigger and better things.
Yeah. All right. Well, Curtis Malm, Director of Golf, White Eagle Golf Club, thanks so much for jumping in. We look forward to seeing you not only hit the golf ball around, but seeing you around the championship and enjoying a few days of covering some great golf and hanging out with not only the members, but the spectators and the fantastic people who work at White Eagle. It's a great staff there, and should be a lot of fun for people to come out and watch golf and or maybe support their local pro or, you know, maybe a friend or somebody from the neighborhood who's still an amateur but hoping to get a title and take that as they prepare to make the jump to the professional golf world. So, Curtis, we will see you on Monday. And we look forward to a great and looks like warm week of golf at the White Eagle Golf Club.
Thanks, Roy. Appreciate it. Thanks for being involved. And I hope we see a lot of people out there Monday through Wednesday.
All right. Take care.
Good luck.
Yep. That's Curtis Malm, Director of Golf at the White Eagle Golf Club. And Billy, did you ever play in the Illinois Open?
Oh, I played in a few of them, you know. I think the one particular, probably the best I remember that really had a chance a couple times to maybe win, and was Briarwood. Probably was my best finish. I think Emil beat Don Stickney in a playoff at Briarwood. So that was a real good tournament for me. And there's a couple other. But, you know, the Illinois Open used to be played in, like, late April. And the first round of Briarwood was snow flurries the whole day. My kind of day.
Yeah, there you go.
And anyway, it was real cold the first round. And I think Stick and I might have been tied for the lead. I'm not sure. And then one thing led to another. I think I finished fourth and then. And Stick and Emil had a playoff, and Emil won the playoff sudden death. They went four or five holes, I think. But, and then, you know, like I say, the tournament was always held in early, because they felt like the club pros, if you had a club job, you really didn't get away from the job like now. You know, it seems like they get away a little better. That was a big deal to take that time off and be away from the club. Most clubs didn't appreciate that. They wanted a golf pro around. So,
yeah. But if you won the tournament, then you could take the trophy back to your club and put it on display all summer in front of all the members and their guests.
That usually the way it worked, but, you know, a couple times the club, not mentioning the golf club, the pro had qualified for the Western Open, and they said that he couldn't play. They were not happy that he qualified and would be away at whatever they had going. They thought it was more important. So, you know, sometimes there's issues. It's not as easy and smooth as everybody thinks. But
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, the Illinois Open has really come up in stature. Yeah. Curtis is right. It really has come up in stature.
Well, Illinois PGA Executive Director Kerry Williams, Tournament Director Brad Slocum, and their staff over at the Illinois PGA have really done a lot to upgrade that tournament and some of the other sites that the Illinois PGA plays at. With that, we are going to take our next break. We'll be back with Tim Kelly, the golf course superintendent at Exmoor Country Club that hosts the Western Amateur right after this.
This segment was sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. 18 holes of golf and home to the Pier 19 restaurant in the clubhouse. The Klein Creek Pavilion for large groups, weddings, and more. Don't forget, visit KleinCreek.com or call 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the new Klein Creek app. The Misswood Golf Club on Renwick Road in Romeoville is one of the Chicago area's top-rated public golf courses. Misswood's commitment to excellence continues under the McWethy family, both on and off the golf course. The Ray Hearn Design not only hosts the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open every July, but other tournaments all season long. The professional staff is one of the largest in the area, so for lessons, club fittings, Mistwood is the place to go. Mistwood has been rated a top 100 fitting location in America by Golf Digest magazine. So golfers, go enjoy a day of Mistwood golf and then cool down in McWethy's Tavern or dine outside on the pub's patio. Make your tee time today by calling 815-254-3333. That's 815-254-3333. Or visit mistwoodgc.com. And don't forget, now try out Mistwood's new honey from the bee farm at Mistwood Farms. Heritage Oaks Golf Club at 3535 Dundee Road in Northbrook is no longer your father's sportsman's golf and country club. Heritage Oaks is not only a new name, but it's a brand new clubhouse complete with a stylish pro shop and the Acorn Grill, a great place to enjoy food and beverage before and after golf with your choice of both indoor and outdoor dining. Located adjacent to the bar is the new simulator room with two simulators that make golf, golf lessons, and club fittings a year-round option at Heritage Oaks. The new putting green is over double the size of the previous one, and the driving range is both double-sided and has the famed TrackMan technology. So if you like to get all of your stats and numbers that you need to know about your game, you can do so now with the help of TrackMan. Heritage Oaks is a 27-hole golf facility, so whether it's playing the 18-hole classic course or the legacy 9-hole course, come out and play the new Heritage Oaks Golf Club with new greens, tees, and fairways by calling 847-291-2351. That's 847-291-2351. Or online, visit heritageoaksgc.com.
All right, 10:31, Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears along with Bill Berger in the studio. And Billy, you know, we've had some golf pros on this show. We've had some architects. We've had people that design and build golf clubs. But one profession we really we haven't talked to anybody who works on that end of it is the golf course superintendents. And Billy, you know, you've played in enough tournaments. Tournament week especially, they're the most important guy, aren't they?
Sure are, you know, and they really different you know, attitudes of used to know a lot of golf course superintendents, but through the course of time I don't, and that at Exmoor is a really nice golf course. That's what I call the fooler of the Chicago areas, the country clubs that are just such a fooler. You know, most people barely know the name of the place, and even some of the golf pros go there to play in something. They say, "Wow, what a golf course!" You know,
yeah.
And Exmoor, I've always put in that league. I know we've had some section events there over the years, and you know, really is a really nice layout. You know.
Well, about 10 years ago, I was there for the Western Amateur, the 2012 Western Amateur. And the Western Amateur is coming back again. And the guy who has made that golf course look outstanding for the week ahead is Golf Course Superintendent Tim Kelly, who joins us now. Tim, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. Thank you for the kind words. I'm happy to join you.
Tim, have you recovered from being stuck with me as one of your golf partners on Media Day for the Western Amateur and our friend Tim Cronin as well?
Yeah, a little bit of counseling, a little therapy, but we're on the mend now.
Well, that's great. But, you know, Tim, you know, with the demand that's been put on golf courses in the last couple of years, especially since people found out it was one of the few things they could do outside after COVID hit, A lot of players have marched across golf courses, and I'm sure Exmoor Country Club, where you work as the head superintendent, has been no different. The members have been out there, and tell us what it's been like to keep a golf course in tip-top shape, I'm sure, with all the business you've had in the last few years.
Well, we're fortunate to have a great team here. We've got a good team of assistant superintendents. Our crew is just outstanding. And you're absolutely right. The last 2 years were huge booms. Things are starting to level out a little bit now this summer, you know, with camps back and people going to Wrigley and wherever else. But we're fortunate to have a good team. I think it's important to communicate well, to just try to let your members know what's going on. You know, why you're doing what you're doing and what you're doing to protect the golf course. We just talk about sustainable conditioning so that we can have it, you know, in top shape for them all summer long and, you know, Tuesday through Sunday, you know, whether you're coming out in the afternoon or a Thursday morning, just try to keep it consistent and, you know, in their wheelhouse.
Well, Tim, I know that prior to coming to Chicago and Exmoor, you spent some time at the Aronimink Golf Club out in the Philadelphia area, and I believe Donald Ross has his fingerprints on that club as well as he does over at Exmoor. So what's it like to not just take care of a golf course, but some of these older classic Donald Ross golf clubs?
It's a treat. It's an honor. Honestly, there's so much history. Both places, very similar, you know, funny name and great family club with an outstanding golf course, you know, and digging into the history and digging into the, you know, the changes that were made and things that went on over the years. It's just a lot of fun. And as a golf course superintendent and also a golfer, it's, you know, you try to live up to that. Ross had specific characteristics, you know, back to front greens, open green mouths, trying to play the ball on the ground, you know, especially here in Chicago early in his career. You know, he was probably just over from Scotland, so his design probably changed by the time he got to Philadelphia and did Aronimink. And so just understanding that history and how it ties into the game and how it ties into today's game is a lot of fun and one of the most interesting parts of the job for me.
Well, Tim, I know you haven't been here all 10 years since the last Western Amateur was played there, but will the golf course look any different to maybe somebody who came out and watched the Western Am 10 years ago and it might be back on property for the first time in 10 years? Have you done much strategically, whether it's adding some yardage, moving some bunkers around, tree work, or had to clean up any tree work? I know there was some heavy storms in the area last weekend that was tough on some of the clubs up in your neighborhood.
We were fortunate in that respect. We did not have any significant tree damage. We did get over 5 inches of rain in about 4 hours. So we had some puddles that we had never seen before on Saturday. But thankfully, the course drained down, and it was nice for our rough for the tournament. So now our rough is going to be nice and lush, which doesn't really make too much of a difference to these kids how hard they swing. But you know, we'll try to play a little defense with our rough and get our greens firm. But in the last 10 years, they added a couple back tees when they had the 2018 Constellation Players Championship here for the PGA Senior Tour. So that's, you know, helpful, again, for these kids who really bomb it. And just recently, we redid our ninth hole. We lost an old oak tree. If you've been to Exmoor, on the right side of the ninth hole, there was we think it was over 200 years old, right along the right side of the fairway. And unfortunately, that tree's just, we've been trying to save it for 10 years, and finally had to come down, and we just kind of took a wholesale look at the ninth hole, put in some mounding on the right side, redid a bunker on the left that was a little bit out of place, and then opened up a bit of a collection area around the back and the left side of the ninth green. And that was led by Andrew Green, which was Andrew just hopped on with us a couple years ago after Ron Pritchard's retirement. And that was our first endeavor with Andrew, and it's been really well received, and he's been just great to work with.
Well, I'm sure that Andrew was glad that he didn't come to Exmoor and find the same mess that he found at Wilmington Country Club, the site of this year's BMW Championship, also put on with the Western Golf Association, like this week's Western Amateur. Believe it or not, a tornado that normally never comes to the state of Delaware showed up right in the middle of their golf course only weeks after the PGA Tour had approved it for a FedEx Cup event. And they lost 300 trees and a lot of big ones. And Andrew Green got an emergency call from the club and had to race out there. And looked like he told me he looked like he walked into a war zone. So I'm sure he was glad to come to Exmoor and have something not quite so frantic and not such quite a mess to clean up like they did out on the East Coast. And I know that from some of the other work that he's done at places like Congressional, I'm sure any changes that he recommends will go over real well at Exmoor Country Club.
Yeah, and Scioto just opened up. Inverness is really special. Two great Donald Rosses. And then it'll be exciting to see Oak Hill at the PGA Championship next year. I believe it's the PGA Championship at Oak Hill next
year.
And that'll be just great. I mean, you talk about great golf courses before he touched them, and now you just hear nothing but the best about those. So it's special, and we're glad to have him.
All right, it's 10:41. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears with Bill Berger in studio. We're talking for a few minutes with Tim Kelly, the golf course superintendent at Exmoor Country Club, the host of this week's 120th Western Amateur Championship. And, Tim, when you were at Aronimink, I believe you were there when the BMW Championship was there. So what's it like for you to kind of get together and work together with the Western Golf Association again on another one of their big tournaments?
It's been fantastic. Steve Prioletti has worked with me closely at BMW at the BMW at Aronimink, and he's running tournament operations here at the Western. And Vince Pellegrino was also very involved at the BMW. And as the lead assistant there at Aronimink, we were kind of the grunt guys, and we were just helping to facilitate things and get everything done. So we worked pretty closely with them. So it's been a smooth, easy transition. I know what they're looking for, and they know what we're about here. So we're looking forward to a great championship. We're really hoping that the weather holds out for us. It's a long event, 6 days that you got to have weather cooperate. But we'll have our fingers crossed.
Yeah, I know you're going to get a couple of warm days there midweek into the 90s. But, Tim, tell us a little bit about just general golf course maintenance. I know that superintendents over the course of the year, usually in the spring, they'll put down certain applications. But you've got to watch the weather radar just to make sure that some of those things don't mix with a big rainstorm the next day, or they don't mix with high heat over the next couple of days. And I know that there's been different chemicals and things that have been put on golf courses for years that some government agency tells you you're not supposed to use it anymore. So tell us a little bit about, some of the different things that a superintendent's got to do and to keep these golf courses looking as good as they do, especially with the demand either from the general public or, in your case, the members.
Well, it's definitely an evolving industry and has come a really long way. And with the technological advance of the mower and all the different things we can do with GPS and that kind of stuff that's come about in recent years. But you really got to try to just stay a couple steps ahead. You're always looking at, first place you go in the morning on your phone is to that weather forecast, see what the next couple of days look like, highs during the day, lows at night. And you just try to stay ahead and when it's going to be warm and sticky and humid, you want to try to, crank the water down. And we're fortunate here to be a mile from Lake Michigan. So when it does get hot and sticky like that, it usually doesn't stick around for longer than a couple of days. And then you get a nice cool night where you can recover. But as a general rule of thumb, we try to set up everything for the season in the spring And then just maintain. It's all about golf in season. And then try to recover and set up again for the following season in the fall. So we really just hammer the shoulder seasons and then maintain during the year. I'm a big proponent of we're out here for golf. We're not out here to grow grass. You got to grow grass, but we're here number one first for golf. And then grass is 1A. So that's how we try to approach things.
Tim, Bill Berger here. You know, grass can't be stopped from growing. You know, I used to tease, the friendships I had with a bunch of greenskeepers. But a fast question, is there a Donnelly left around in the greenskeeping business in the North Shore? Did that name ever come up or anybody, Donnelly?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dan Donnelly is the golf course superintendent at North Shore Country Club.
Okay. And I suppose he's hooked in.
Third generation, I believe.
Okay. Then they're still around. And, my first job as a golf pro, I worked for, he was a cousin to that crew, Dee Donnelly. And so I know there's been a bunch of Donnellys. And another fast question. The par three, am I at the right call? It may be Northmore. Is the 10th or 11th hole a good par three, a 200-yard par hole at Exmoor? Or no?
The 12th is about 165 over the water with the water on the right, and the 8th hole is that long 200-yard up the hill that has a bit of a Redan characteristic to it. It's lost a bit of its Redan-ish over the years, but those might be the two you're thinking of.
Okay, that's the one then. Yeah, very good hole on that. But so there is a Donnelly or two left on the North Shore.
Yeah, they're in a few different places out there. Tim, can you tell us about the delicate art of sort of amping up a golf course for a prominent championship, whether it's the top amateurs in the world or professional players, men or women, and then sort of maybe trying to dial it back down after the tournament leaves town, so all the members can play it again without seeing their handicaps go up a few shots.
Absolutely, it's along the same lines. You got to try not to peak too early and pick your spots. We're really fortunate this week to have such good temperatures. If it was really hot and dry, we'd be out there watering. We wouldn't be able to pick up all the details. But we've been fortunate this week to get some good weather. But, kind of working from the greens out, you want to build your green speed. You don't want to try to ramp it up all in a couple of days. You're trying to just slowly and safely creep it up. The tournament doesn't ask for all that much speed, but they want it to be competitive for the kids. They just don't want to lose pin placements. And then really the other big change is our rough. Our rough is significantly higher than we would have it for member play, an inch to an inch and a half higher. And, with a little extra water and juice in there for the year, just to make it a little more penal when these kids miss the fairways. And outside of that, we can back off slowly, just start to cut that rough down and get back to our normal member speed just by backing off a little bit. We bring our crew back at night for tournaments, so we do some night mowing and evening maintenance, and then we're up and at them again early in the morning. So we're fortunate to have the help of some volunteers. We've got about 15 people coming in, assistant superintendents, sales representatives. It's a great community to come out and help us in the mornings to do just a little bit extra than we normally do and really put on a great championship. It's a really nice part of the industry.
Yeah, Tim, I know that some of the classic venues that host tournaments, you look at some of the 100-year-old course designs, and some of them have some slope fronts to them that maybe doesn't always come into play for the members, but if you really wanted to amp things up, say for a tournament, you could shave those fronts down a little bit and make them false fronts, especially when you got good players that can put a lot of spin on the ball, and all of a sudden they're back down 30 yards in front of the green, or maybe up in a bunker, or if there's water in front of the green, it brings that threat into play.
And firmness is a big part of that too, where, you know, with, if we can crank the speed up a little bit, and yeah, these kids hit, they hit driver so far that they're going to have a ton of wedges in here. So if we can do just that, have them spin it off the front, they'll have to, you know, hit some good shots after that. But at this point, we need Mother Nature's help for the wind to pick up a little bit and really dry these greens out so that, you know, they're going to be missing on the backside as well, which will be a lot tougher than missing on the front side. You know, our if you play Donald Ross golf courses, you want to be out in front of the green and going up the hill and not having everything run away from you. So hopefully the fan turns on here in the next couple of days and dries this place out.
Well, I think you'll dry out, especially midweek, and it sounds like you and your team, along with those players, are going to probably need plenty of Gatorade by Wednesday or Thursday. But, hey, Tim, listen, I know you're getting the golf course together and ready for the first event of the week, probably out there tomorrow afternoon, that always raises some nice money for the Evan Scholars Foundation. So we'll let you get back with your team and get ready for tournament week, and thanks so much for joining us here at Golfers on Golf Radio and telling us a little bit about how the superintendents are making it work out in the golf courses across America.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. And you should have more golf course superintendents on.
send us the phone numbers of all your friends at all the classic courses. You know, we'd love to talk to a few of them. So, Tim, thanks again for jumping in, and well, we'll see you at Exmoor this week.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Okay, that's Tim Kelly, superintendent at Exmoor Country Club, the host of this week's 120th Western Amateur. We're going to take a quick break, hear from our friends at DuPage Golf, and be back right after this.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
All right, it is 10:51, and Bill Berger, you know, time flies when we're having fun. We talked to Curtis Malm over at White Eagle Golf Club, hosting the Illinois Open this week, defending champion T.K. Kelly not back in the field. So there'll be a new winner, a new champion, and, of course, Tim Kelly over at Exmoor in the Western Amateur. Can't wait to get out there and watch some of these 19-year-old kids hit it further than anyone thought was humanly possible a few years ago. And, of course, Len Ziem early in the program, mobiling back to Florida, but made a stop over at the French Lick Resort. And the biggest purse on the Epson Tour, one step short of the LPGA Tour, is going to take place on the Pete Dye Golf Course, a great place that you can go play. It's a golf course open to the public and a lot of fun. And, you know, Billy, you know, this time of year is kind of fun around Chicago. Sometimes things are a little too bunched. They're on top of each other. But there's a good stretch of tournaments, even if the PGA Tour isn't in town.
You know, you're absolutely right there. And then, you know, there's always a few locals, you know, and they have friends and family. So, you know, it's really interesting. You know, you got a family member or a real good friend that is qualified for the Illinois Open or, you know, the Western Amateur, you know, at a higher level. And you know, it's kind of fun to go, you know, way back in the old days, you had some players that, you know, were really good amateurs, played nationally, like Roy Bancalana and a few from that era. You know, it's kind of fun. You know, I know I think he a finals or a semifinal at North Shore, the amateur from Philadelphia that won everything all the time, Biancolano, lost to him, but played really good. See some good golf. It's a fun time of the year, like you say, and you see a golf course, you know, if you really like golf, you get to see a golf course like a North Shore or an Exmoor. It's really really a treat to get around there and see that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Billy, our friend Ed Stevenson of DuPage Golf, not here to fill us in on all the details, but I'm sure he probably will when he's back with us next week. But if he was here, he would be telling us how the DuPage County Amateur Golf Tournament played out last weekend over at Maple Meadows and the Preserve at Oak Meadows. And congratulations to Ed Heiser, a five-shot winner in the championship division that included a day one score of 67. Good for Ed. Anthony Spallo was the winner in the A flight with a two-day total of 145, won it by 8 shots. The B flight, John Barton was the winner by 1 shot over Mayor Patel. He's 75 on day two, got it done for John Barton after 89 the first day, rallied to be 14 shots better to win the B flight.
And 89 wasn't a bad score, you know. Might look bad on the sheet, but, you know.
Maybe it was just a little soggy that first day, and, you know, from all those heavy rains, and he wasn't getting a lot of roll on the golf ball. So, but anyway, congratulations to all those gentlemen for winning their flight or the championship division of the 2022 DuPage County Amateur Golf Tournament. And so, wow, you know, time flies when we're having fun here, Billy. Yeah. We're only a few minutes away from putting out. But again, we want to encourage everybody, if you have a chance this week, come on out to White Eagle Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. See the Illinois Open. And starting on Tuesday with the stroke play, starting on Thursday with the match play, the Western Golf Association Western Amateur, the 120th edition at Exmoor Country Club. Should be really exciting to see, you know, what those players will bring out there. And Billy, what's going on with you? Busy as always over at Jake's Pizza and Grand, Bill's Pizza?
Yeah, 9802 West Grand. We have one or two left, so hurry up and
stop by.
Stop by and pick up Jake's Deluxe, you know.
Yeah. And let me guess, you'll deliver it to somebody's golf course, clubhouse, or they can swing through the drive-through at your place, right, and pick it up.
So anyway, the busy time, like you say, for get to the golf course and you know what, one guy that was kind of a good golfer, they asked him, "What do you do? How do you make change in your golf game, or how do you pick up getting so good?" He says, "I watch a good player." I think his name was Ben Hogan.
There you go. So. And for those of you, Billy, I'm so glad you brought that up. Word coming out online this week through My Golf Spy, a website that reviews equipment and talks about a lot of what's going on in the golf equipment and product industry, announcing that the Ben Hogan Golf Company may have to shut its doors permanently, not due to the fact that they had bad sales or anything like that, but their major investment stakeholder in the company had to file for bankruptcy. A Chicago-based financial investment firm ran into trouble. So as a result, they may be shutting the doors in Fort Worth, Texas, on the Ben Hogan Golf Company. And I can tell you from reading through their media releases and looking at pictures of some of their equipment in the last couple of years, they've put out some nice stuff and sales have been good. So it came as a little bit of a shock to me to hear that they may have to shut down production and go out of business. But I got to believe if you're looking to invest in a golf club company, Ben Hogan will probably resurface somewhere. It's too good a name and too good of equipment to stay shut down for all too long.
Yeah, you know, I heard on a rumor board, and I just never paid attention to it. I'm glad you said that. I wasn't aware that it actually happened. And, you know, like I say on a rumor board, you hear things, and, you know, you're around more than me, and I know you get more rumors, way more than I do. But I just couldn't believe it, you know, and they do. they have you know, a nicest looking club as anybody, and they really have upscaled, good looking and production product. So it's like you say, they'll resurface, I'm sure.
Yeah, Billy. Well, with that, again, time flies. We're having fun. Billy and I have putted out on 18. Ed Stevenson, looking forward to being back in the studio with us. Special thanks to Curtis Malm at White Eagle, Tim Kelly at Exmoor Country Club, Len Zeem for jumping in, and for Brian for spinning the dials and getting us out to you. With that, keep cool on the golf course, everybody, and have a great week.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.